And you know it's going to be a good day when you got to go because the Colonel himself, Randy Ligon, is in the house. And Colonel, my goodness, you have quite the auction going on, especially if you're a fan of the United States of America, which all of us are.
Absolutely. It's the 250th anniversary of America, and we're all proud to be here. You know, Chris, off script a second. I'm old enough to remember when we did this at the 200th anniversary, not as an auctioneer, but as a 16-year-old in 1976, you know, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
I remember that, too.
You remember that, too?
Exciting.
Well, Patty, I wasn't going to put you on the spot.
I thought you
were still 29 years old. But, you know, that was a great time, and we really got involved as a country. And unfortunately, I don't know that we're quite as involved and as engaged today as we were, or at least as a geeky teenager from Louisville High School, I was all about it.
It was America and apple pie.
It really was.
It was great.
You know, and we'll get to it in a minute, but I always thought one of the greatest things, and it's in this auction, is Chevrolet did advertising just for this. And maybe they're doing it now, I'm not sure. But anyway, but you know, we have a sign that says, Chevrolet salutes America.
Yeah.
1976 Chevrolet. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff we've got in this collection. Mr. Hopper was just an unbelievable collector. And as I pointed out, I have the official 250th anniversary pin on here given to me by Dr. Bobby Walker. But Mr. Hopper was the official representative back in 1976. So we still have lots of stuff that he failed to give away.
So all of this is from Mr. Hopper.
Yeah. And certainly, but most of it is his collection. He took his boys, his boys are now, you know, Mr. Hopper passed away a few years ago at 90 some odd.
Yeah. So they're in the 60s, maybe even 70s.
Yeah, that's right. But they took their summer vacations and would go digging at, in, you know, battleground locations that it was still legal to do that back in the day. And then he'd turn around and take them to Santee River and dig Indian artifacts. And we got some of those, just pieces of pottery and stuff. But still, that's what the family did for vacation. They went and toured American battlefields and collected Americana. And back in those days, and this
wonder how many families are like that today.
Not as many as there used to be. That was something I think was, you know, in my opinion, that was the greatest generation. They did a lot of that with their children, which the baby boomers and, you know, Gen X. But you know, as I guess I'm like Gen X millennial right there, the mix. You know, I did some of that when I was younger with my parents, but you know, it wasn't as much as it was. If I remember doing those as a child, it was when my grandparents were involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, you know, you had the Chevrolet station wagon.
Oh, you know,
we didn't have Suburbans as much. Everybody had a sedan wagon, and you packed the whole family
in
there.
Didn't have seatbelts.
And you went to see the Grand Canyon. Well, I don't know if we do that as much as we used to.
And there was no air conditioning.
That's right. Roll the windows down.
Yeah. Well, we didn't complain, but it was the greatest fertile ground for learning because if you don't have anything to do except look at the scenery, you ask questions, and grandparents or parents can answer those questions and make it really feel like it is my history. It does matter.
It is our history, and it's, you know, it's one of those things they say you will repeat history if you don't learn it. This is part of that, and this collection needs to be handed off to the next generation. You know, it's not about. This family's not about the money and what this stuff brings. It's just they want to see it dispersed back into hands of young people who will enjoy it, study it. You know, we got cannonballs that are, I don't know how many pounds. Some you can't hardly lift, and some are, you know, big as quarters. There's a history lesson there. What kind of gun did that? What battle was this from? It's just a lot of history.
One of the things, and looking over the stuff that's here that excites me, is some of the newspapers.
Because,
you know, being in journalism, then knowing that you've got newspapers from so many significant events. What are some of the significant events that newspapers are from?
Yeah, well, you know, you've got Pearl Harbor, starts the war, 1941, December 7th, 1941, and then you've got the war is over and some in-between battles or, you know, America's or the general that had to leave the island, MacArthur, had to leave the island and, what do you say? He will return, or I shall return. So, you know, some of that I think is documented in some of the newspapers, but the photographs and the uniforms, looking at those big old heavy bulky uniforms, it's like, man, how did they survive?
Well, it puts a perspective when you're watching even a movie and you see how you, we can visually see the weight of something, but until you hold it in your hand, do you really understand?
I understand
the strength
and that's
that would be
a good
involved.
Point. In some of the notes, it mentioned, you know, some of the famous movies and the Battle of Iwo Jima, and, you know, John Wayne didn't have any problem carrying his uniform, but let me tell you, the guys at Iwo Jima were suffering under the weight and the heat. And jungle shoes. I didn't know we had jungle shoes.
What is a jungle shoe?
You know, because in the Philippines, in that part of the world, you'd have foot rot as a disease. And, of course, this happened a lot to us in Vietnam. But, you know, some of these were going back to World War II, which I didn't know we had advanced to that level in World War II. Uniform technology.
So he has.
We have these in the collection.
What do they look like? Shoes. Can you describe them?
Well, you know, they look normal. A lot like a pair of tennis shoes or what's those
Crocs
things that Crocs is. Okay. Yeah, it's got holes in them.
I was just guessing.
Yeah, a little bit like that. I thought
ventilation.
So it was Crocs before Crocs.
They were pre-Croc.
They're on to something.
They're a pre-croc. Another thing of local interest I thought was interesting is there's some Winthrop training school stuff. And, you know, we always make fun of Winthrop first football team. Well, there was a football team at the training school. And we've got some programs of that. And I thought that was neat, you know, for us Rock Hill folks.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know the training school had a football team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was kind of new. So a lot of South Carolina stuff.
I noticed in here there was a World War II German bread bag. What does that mean?
Yeah. You know, apparently the Germans they were particular about their bread, and they had a special piece of field gear to hold a chunk of bread. I'm sure it wasn't sliced. You know, it was just a bag that probably had some kind of liner keeping it dry. And attached to the uniform or to the backpack, I found one of the more interesting pieces for me was the World War One, because we also don't forget we're going back to World War One here. The cavalry razor strap is in really good condition. It's got a star on it. It's brass and leather strap, and you know everybody had to stay shaven a lot because.
The gas mask issue. Strap where they would sharpen.
Yeah, that's right.
The
same
blade.
Same thing. That's what this is that leather strap.
I know
strap.
What that looks like.
Yeah, and you know, with the little brass fitting on the top of it, really
that's
dates
cool.
it. You know, as a unique piece. So
also maps, like geography and maps.
Oh yeah,
that is so interesting.
Yeah, and you know they would sew these into their uniforms sometimes, or their flight jackets. Mm-hmm. And some of the flight jackets have. I mean, you know, if you're flying in the Philippines or in the islands area, there's a map sewn in the silk. It's made into the silk, and it's in your jacket. You know, I guess so. You'd have
navigate.
A map with you if you got stranded somewhere. You'd know where you are.
No GPS.
Yeah,
back then.
Pre-GPS. Pretty sure the stars were still there, though, if you could figure that out. That's above my grade. I can't do that.
So for folks that are interested in bidding on these items, getting some of these items, what's the best way they can do that?
Yes, sir. Go to our website, theligandcompany.com, and we are, you know, unfortunately, you missed last night. Maybe we had this is a 2-day auction. It was so big, and we did phase one last night, day one last night, and it did well. Had more of the household furniture and stuff last night. Today is more completely focused on the collection. You know, huge house over in Gaffney, So you do have to go to Gaffney, but Gaffney's not far. Nice drive over. You know, swing by the what's that thing? The Gaffney Outlet over there on your way back.
Yeah.
You know, buy yourself some jungle shoes,
big
Crocs. But
yeah,
you know, and this house is almost next door, or really is next door to Limestone College, to give you a reference of where it is, so when you have to go pick it up. So you know, and that's part of buying at auction. But you buy it online,
okay,
and bid high and bid often, as I like to sell people. That's always the way it works. And you know, we'll be glad. We'll be around today to answer questions. Got an open house today over there from 3 to 5 or something like that. If you want to run over there and look and feel and touch it, which I understand that, too. Mm-hmm. That helps. But our pictures are pretty good. We did detailed photographs. They're online at theligandcompany.com. And we appreciate you. And like I said, let's get this collection out in the hands of a younger generation to teach a little history.
I think Mr. Hopper would like that.
He would.